God. Praise God. Come on. I'll start off with, since you're talking about the bride of Christ. Amen? Yeah. So let my bride kick off.
Praise God. Praise God. I just want to just say you look beautiful, church. Yeah, beautiful. It's been a wonderful, wonderful 1 hour so far with you. And I just feel the Lord wants me to remind you that you're his radiant ones and you're beautiful. You know, it's amazing that the body of Christ is one. And I was blessed when I cast my eye at your screen before we started, and it had the bride of Christ. And then there were two Bible verses in Revelation. And then before I could turn and look at them, the screen went. So as I was sitting there, then my husband whispered into my ears, I'm going to bring you up. I didn't want to tell you, but what do you have to say about the bride of Christ? It's funny because the last time I ministered, I just feel the Lord has been speaking to his church. Well, it's not funny. It just confirms that the Holy Spirit is talking to his church. And we had a visiting minister, and he reminded us that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's our healer. He's our baptizer. He's our healer. And he's also our soon coming King. Some denominations use that as their four pillars. But he said, we don't talk often enough about Jesus Christ as soon coming King. So I want to thank the children for reminding us today that Jesus Christ is Savior. And then they said he loved us, and they said he was soon coming King. And when we were praising and worshiping God, we also celebrated Jesus Christ as King. Now, what the Lord laid on my heart last time, and which I'll just quickly share with the church, just a few nuggets, and I think that's why my husband wanted me to speak, is some of us are married here. I've looked around, and some of us are looking forward to that day, but I recently challenged the women in our church to send me pictures of their wedding day. And I wanted to just remind us of when we were brides and what it was, how we looked, how excited we were. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ calls the church woman, and he calls us his bride. And that's the aspect he wants to celebrate. Those scriptures and revelations, I went and I did a quick Esau search. It talks about Jesus Christ welcoming the New Jerusalem. That's the full-grown woman, the church that Christ is building. And the aspect he wants us to focus on is that he's excited we are coming. So we'll look at a few scriptures today, and then I'll just leave you with some verses as I hand over the mic to my husband from Songs of Solomon, which is fast becoming my favorite book in the Bible. Praise God. Can we just, if you can please put it up for me. We'll look at three verses from Isaiah, where Jesus Christ tells us about his bride. You know, Isaiah is a prophet. He's a New Testament prophet that ushers in the revelation of Jesus Christ coming on earth. Isaiah 49:18 says, lift up thine gates round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, said the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament. So just take note of what God is saying about how beautiful he sees his church. He says, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride does. As I asked the ladies to send me some pictures of their wedding day, I went back and I looked at some of mine too. And what struck me was how beautiful we make ourselves. I don't know how much effort I've ever put into being beautiful since then, as beautiful as I was on that day. And who remembers the beauty that shines through every bride? You're just so excited. I don't know if we do it for our bridegrooms or we do it for ourselves, but we prepare, you know, and we submit ourselves willingly to the people that are going to make us beautiful. So just keep that picture in your mind. The next one I want to look at is in Isaiah 61, verse 10. It says, I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Then I want us to look at one more from Isaiah 62:5. And remember, Jesus Christ is talking about you. And he's saying that when he brings us to church, he's preparing us. Who knows that our opportunity is going to be the day Jesus Christ comes as his coming King. as our coming King. That's the opportunity every Christian is looking forward to. That's the hope we've set our hearts on. And the Bible says, and we know, I was in a prayer meeting recently for our own region, the women's meeting, and we were praying, and the lady said something that has stayed with me. She said, when preparation meets opportunity, what you get is a miracle. So God is saying to us, you know, I need you preparing. I need you conscious that this is preparation time, because you're my bride and you're making yourself beautiful. I call you beautiful, but there's the process of becoming more beautiful, even as we do willingly for our wedding days. Jesus Christ says, I'm your bridegroom. Have I read the third one? I don't think so. Did I read it? Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Maybe you can say this one with me. It says, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall my God rejoice over me. So shall my God rejoice over me. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting to me, and it makes me want to prepare. So we'll now look at three verses from Songs of Solomon chapter 1. And I'm going to take it from the Passion Translation. We're going to read verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. Or is it? Yeah, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And remember, the Songs of Solomon is where God starts to usher us into Isaiah the prophet, beginning to open us up into the revelation of Christ coming, first to be born as son, and then he went through the process where he could then become our savior. And then he went through the process where he's going to come back and has left the Holy Spirit with the beautifying work. So I want to give you a bit of a picture of what's happening. It says, listen, my radiant one. If you ever lose sight of me, just follow in my footsteps where I lead my lovers. Each and every one of us that's called into being a Christian has received Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God calls us his lovers. He says, come with your burdens, come with your cares. Come to the place near the sanctuary of my shepherds. That's come to church. You are here today. You have brought yourself. You know, he's still inviting us. He then says in verse 9, my dearest one, let me tell you how I see you. He says, this is Jesus Christ, and this is the word I want to leave you with, church, as you look at the bride of Christ and as we open it up more today. Jesus Christ says, you are so thrilling to me. To gaze upon you is like looking at one of Pharaoh's finest horses. A strong, regal stead pulling his royal chariot. Listen to this. Your tender cheeks are beautiful. If you look at it in another version, it talks about plaits on your cheeks. So think about how every woman makes her hair so beautiful for her wedding day. It says, your tender cheeks are beautiful. Your earrings and gem-laden necklaces set them ablaze. We will enhance your beauty with golden ornaments studded with silver. Amen. I just want to leave you, church, that we are here and we are in a preparation time. And the Holy Spirit's work at this time is making us beautiful. Beautiful with gold of the Father. Beautiful with silver of Christ. And beautiful with the ornaments on our neck as the Holy Spirit beautifies us and as we submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives at this time. Praise God.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, praise God. Let's pray together to receive that word first and foremost, and then to help us to open us for the Holy Spirit's work today, the 27th of November. He is the beautifier. He is the one who wrought all of the Father's gold, all of the Son's redemption or redeeming silver, and then he makes us into precious stones, precious stones. Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that as we just spend some time together, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will help us. From verse 17 or 16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you making mention of you in my prayers. So as we spend time today, I just ask that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you and I more and more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. That we may grow in the intimate knowledge of him. Amen. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Amen. And that you and I may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, us, his saints. Amen. Praise God. It is a pleasure to be with you, to just spend some time together. Yeah, I bring you blessings and beauty and joy from the church in Ellesmereport. Amen. And I come to fellowship with you today in the church in Liverpool. Yeah, I'll make it a sweet word for you. Praise God. Now, just remind me, so you, the month of November has been the bride of Christ, yes? So this is the last Sunday, is it? Praise God, praise God. So it's a sweet word indeed, yeah, to just help you to tie it up and to seal it in your spirit for another level of glory. Amen? Revelations chapter 12. Sorry, Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. This is the end of the journey. This scripture that I want to share with you. But we are in the process. Revelations chapter 21 from verse 9. From verse 9. This is the end of the journey. But we are in the process. And I pray that wherever you are in that process, the Lord will help you. Amen. Are you there? Revelations, is it on your screen? Have they put it there? Okay, let's read with me. Is it, what version is on your screen? Is it New King James? Yeah. New King James, okay. Let's read New King James together. We're reading 9 to 11. Revelations chapter 21, 9 to 11. The New King James. The theme, if you have one of those Bible that has a theme, the theme is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. It says, then one of the seven angels, who are the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I could tell you so many things. You know, when Pastor said to me, come and share this with us. I know, he said to me, I know this is your passion. It is. And I could tell you so many things about the New Jerusalem. But I just want to keep it nice and sweet for you. And I'm glad you record your messages. Amen. So if I move too quickly through something, you can go back, listen to it, and, you know, refresh yourself, get your own Bible and study it. God is building something. From eternity past through eternity present into eternity future, God has his own plan that he is walking through. Every part of God's creation and everything that the Lord is doing has to do with his own plan. Everything else in God's created world is a platform or and a material that God is using to build. It is important to really see quickly what God is doing. It is easy to get caught up in the circumstances of our world, both in the context of the physical world and or the soulical or the world of the mind, or and the world of the spirit. You could be easily distracted. So my summation in the next few minutes is to give you a focus from God's word on what I believe the Lord would like you to have your eyes on. And I start with this scripture because it is where the Lord is going. We don't have a general understanding because Satan has been very busy, both in the physical, in the soulical, and in the spiritual world. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. These three dimensions, they represent the realm of the created world of God. When God said in Genesis chapter 1, 26, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The created man there, or the creation of man there, that realm is spiritual. Because the Bible says, John 4:24, that God is a spirit. He is a spirit being. And Jesus sums it up. So to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. But the key information Jesus wanted to first deliver to us, that God is a spirit being. So his creation in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, is spiritual. By the time you get to chapter 2 of Genesis, the Bible says, then God took the spirit of man that he had formed, or that he had created, better word, and that he formed from the earth now, the physical world. He formed from that world, he formed a body. And the Bible tells us in verse 6 into 7 of Genesis chapter 2 that he introduced the breath, the spirit, pneuma, that's the Greek word, into the body formed from the clay. And the Bible says that man became a living soul. A living soul. So here, if you look at these two chapters together, you see in chapter 1, 26, the created man there is spiritual. Because the Bible tells us, and it is a, that man is male and female. Because in chapter 1 of verse 28, it says, male and female created he them. Then in chapter 2, he introduced the spirit man, male and female component together. He introduced it into the body. And he says, man became a living soul or a living being. So you see the spirit in chapter 1, you see the body in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, and then you see the soul now, the product, the mingling of the spirit into the body in verse 7 of chapter 2. So man is spirit, he is soul, and he is what? Body. These are the dimensions of God's creation of man. Stay with me. Do not get distracted by this realm. Be focused on where God is going, which he started. Because in chapter 1, the same chapter 1, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image and in our... I brought my glove here. Pastor, I said I wanted to get something from him. Pastor says he'll follow me. I went to get my glove. You see, man is like a glove before God. Glove. What is the purpose of the glove? No, it's not a trick question. Go on, answer the question. What is the purpose of the glove? To do what? So, man is like God's glove, to be inhabited by God, to be lived
in by God. The entire process from Genesis to Revelation is how God is taking this man that he created, he formed, and then mingled a soul from to make him habitable for himself. The entire Bible, all from Genesis to Revelation, is a process. God is looking for a wife. That's what he's looking for. A companion. One who he will make to become like him in essence, in glory, in beauty, not in the Godhead. The Godhead is the Father, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. So not in worship, but in everything else. Man is looking for a companion that is exactly like him. And our journey on earth is the process. The entire Bible is about this. So when you get to chapter 3, again, listen carefully. Please don't be distracted by the noises. Focus. Chapter 3, we are caught up with the fall. But I want you to see something greater in chapter 3. Do you notice in chapter 3, passing through chapter 2, God called Adam, man. He called Adam is man. Man, that's what the Hebrew, man. He said, name the animals. Adam named all, you know it's Adam that named the animals. Then the Bible said, listen, chapter 2. The Bible said God looked at Adam. Remember, in Adam is male and in chapter 1 into chapter 2. But God looked at Adam and said, it is not good for man to be alone. Say, it's not good for man to be what? Stay with me. The whole Bible that we have is written in types and shadows. The reality is God. So everything you read in the Bible, listen, it's telling a story about what the Lord is doing. When God said to Adam, it is not good for him to be what? What is next thing he did? Listen, what did he do? He put him to sleep. Put him to sleep. Then what did he do? He took two ribs. Yeah, he took a rib. Is it two? Okay, he took a rib. Okay, he took a rib out of man. And then he separated in man the male and the female. Spirit. He took the female out of man and put the female spirit into the female body. Listen. The man's body was formed. Stay with me. Lord is helping me. The man's spirit is created. The man's body is formed. But the woman's body is built. So he took the rib and he built the body of the woman. Types and the church is the woman of God. Your spirit is created. Your soul is a mingling of your spirit and your physical earthly body. Made from what? Clay. But God, in part of this journey we are going through, is turning the clay into gold, silver, and what? Precious stones. And that process in the realm of men is a building work. So what is God doing today? He's what? He's building his church. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 verse 5 that it says that our maker is our husband. The process of building is what the Bible has been explaining to us in shadows and types. So in chapter 3, you see woman. Now,
listen.
Adam, everything, you know, in the realms of men, God is working with us. That's why it's exciting. In the realms, who called woman, woman?
Adam. Adam did.
Then you know, then you listen. You and I are caught up by the fall. God is not in the fall, is part of the process. When God, you and I think that the utterance of God in chapter 3 was difficult. No, it's part of the process. Because when Adam looked at woman, after God had pronounced the judgment, quote unquote, on Satan and the earth, he never removed the blessing of Adam in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. When Adam saw the redemption of God, what did he call woman? Eve. What's Eve? Mother of all life, all living. Process. My wife shared, I could take you through the whole book, all the books that has been canonized for us, has a part to play in this picture. All the books. So if you go through the history books, the Psalms, all of them, but time won't permit me. So let's go to the book my wife brought, Song of Songs. Have you noticed? The book is titled Song of Songs, like Lord of Lords, like King of... Who is the book about? Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus and his bride. Bride, singular, you, the individual believer, but also bride collectively together. Because there is that Song of Songs chapter 1, when you read verse 3, it says, draw me. But the Bible then says that. It says, but we will run after you. So God always draws the individual believer. But in drawing the believer, he's pulling the whole body together. And that book is pivotal. It opens, it ushers us into, my wife used the word, Isaiah is a New Testament prophet. She knows that I will come and explain it to you. I won't leave you without understanding what she's saying. In the sense that Isaiah is the one, after Song of Songs, the next book is Isaiah. Song of Songs is like an ushering book into Isaiah. Isaiah begins to prophesy. Chapter 7, verse 14. Remember that scripture? It says, unto us who's born. It says 7:14, a virgin will be with what? Child. Isaiah begins to profess. You see, everything in the realms of men that God has created, man has a big part to play. So man must speak it into being. So Isaiah said, a virgin will have a child. Then chapter 9, he said, unto us also what? A child is born, a son is given. Follow Isaiah through. Chapter 53, the cross, crucifixion. Chapter 54, the husband, the maker. Chapter 55, come and buy from me without money. Then you arrive in chapter 60, which is actually talking about the next millennium. Then chapter 61, the millennium. By the time you arrive in chapter 66, the new Jerusalem. Then Jeremiah adds, Daniel adds. Daniel has a big part to add, but we won't go there. We're not studying Daniel. But you all know the prophecies in Daniel. Then you arrive, all of them, Hosea, Amos, they all had a lot to add regarding what God is doing. Then Malachi finishes it and says, unto us shall arise who? The Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Then God was quote-unquote quiet for 400 years. He wasn't really quiet. He was just allowing the Roman Empire to deal with the world, because Daniel had prophesied it in that vision. The Roman Empire, the two legs of iron mixed with clay. Then you arrive in Matthew, and you know the story, the genealogy. Then chapter 1, verse 18, says Jesus Christ will be the Son of the Holy Spirit. Then you know the chapter 2 of Luke. You know the whole story about Zachariah, Elizabeth, Jesus Christ. The Bible is just adding, transitioning us through. Then you all know the story. Jesus was born. Jesus lived for 33 and some years. Then Jesus was crucified, all prophesied according to Isaiah and Jeremiah.
and Daniel. Because Daniel 2 also said it. Daniel 9:25 says, the Messiah shall be cut off. It's the crucifixion of the Messiah. Then you arrive in the crucifixion, you arrive in the burial, you arrive in the resurrection, and then the what? The ascension, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then you arrive in the book of Acts. So in the Gospels, what you have is the fulfillment of everything that God had prophesied all the way from Genesis chapter 3, when he says the Son. Remember Genesis chapter 3? He says, one day the son of the woman will do what? Crush the head of the serpent. Then you arrive there. It was the son of the woman came. He crushed the head of the serpent in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you arrive in the book of Acts, which is now this son having now given birth to a body. Remember Matthew chapter 16? When he was talking to Peter, he said to Peter, your name shall be Peter, and on top of this name, this revelation, I will build my... Can you see the church is what? The church is built. I will build my church. Then he begins the building process in Acts. Then Acts is the propagation of the church. One church, but multiplied now. Multiplied. And pivotal to that multiplication was a man called Paul. So when you go to the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, you see one very interesting scripture about Paul. It says, Ananias, go and sort him out. I have called him to be a vessel. What do you do with vessels? You fill them. So the building process of God in the life of the believer is done by filling. By filling. How does God change clay into gold, silver, and precious stones? By what? Filling. What does he fill them with? With his life, with himself. But let me just give you this one in terms of rounding it up. Listen. How do you get filled? That's why it's important to see that you are a woman. And the word woman is unisex in this context. Because the word son is also unisex in the context of the book of Romans. So both male and female are women before God. We are all brides. Yeah. How does God do this feeling? Listen, listen. Brothers and sisters, listen. The Bible says, having received an abundance of life, yeah, and the gift of righteousness. Romans chapter 5. Do you know what is it that a woman really get? Okay, I'm coming to my wife now. Do you know? Please stay with me. Pastor was able to move a lot of the children. Okay, all the children. We just have infants now. Okay, who are still growing, so their understanding is still developing. So I can share this with you. What is it that my wife really, really got from me? Seed, life. Life, the life is in the sperm. The body is in the ova. The woman provides the body. Mary provided the body to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the life came from God. That's why Jesus is a child of the Holy Spirit. The life came from God. But the body was provided by Mary. That's why Jesus only referred to Mary as woman. In the context of she's part of the church, not as mother. Because the life of Jesus came from who? The Father. Now, stay with me. I wanted this to be really practical and simple for you. How does a woman receive life? Oh, don't do like as if you are, you know, what's Doc talking about? You know, no. How does a woman receive life? By receiving. How does she receive? Just lie down and receive. Did you see any work on the woman's side? Oh. Some people said yes. You got it. The work on the woman's side is to surrender, to receive.
Listen. I re-emphasize this. Women, don't defend your position. We are all women before God. So don't defend your position and say, oh, Doc is a man. No, in the context of the bride of Christ, I'm a woman. I'm a woman. I'm a bride. So this analogy I'm giving you, women don't defend yourself and say, no, we do some work. You don't do any work. No. So you, listen again, you may say to me, we do some work. No, everything you do has to do with God's already patterned plan and physiology for your body. You don't create the egg. God created you. Stay with me. So the egg is already part of God's normal creation in you. It travels down your fallopian, comes from your ovaries, travels down your fallopian tube into your uterus. But you know the sperm does more traveling? The sperm travels through the cervical canal, through the vaginal cervical canal, into the uterus and meets the egg, usually on the tubes. Have you noticed that the egg has nothing to move? The egg is moved by peristalsis. Peristalsis, movement of the contractions of the tubes. But the sperm has a what? A tail to move. The bulk of, do you know who carries the food? Do you know the head of the sperm? Do you know what's in the head of the sperm? Food. The food for the first few weeks. The egg is created ready to receive. So for the believer, listen, just receive from God. Then listen, I close with one scripture that is very pivotal for you. To get to this place, God takes us through several processes. The first is the woman in Genesis chapter 3. The next picture is in Ephesians chapter 5. God journeys through the whole Bible and arrives at Ephesians chapter 5 and then says, wives, submit. Husbands, what? Love. And did you notice? It changed, didn't that, from woman to what? Wife. That means God had gone through the whole Bible to arrive in Ephesians, and the work in Ephesians had brought us to become wives. Then God doesn't stop there. He takes us to another book, the book of Revelation chapter 12. There is a wonderful picture there. Please go there, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1-6. What is your part today? To enable God to build. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1-6. Are you there? Is it on your screen? Is it there yet? So let's read along. We're going to we'll stop at 6. It's a good time. No, maybe we'll stop at 5. So read along with me. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. What is a sign in the context of the Bible? A sign is a symbol of spiritual significance. So the book of Revelation is full of signs. So even this New Jerusalem we're looking at is a sign. God is using pictures to tell 1,000 stories. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's a sign. So it says, there was a sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. On his heads. He still drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And a child was caught up to God and his throne. Amen. I could tell you so many things there, but just pick 2 things. So this picture you see is, can you see, it's a development of the picture of Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, you would notice that God said to the woman, one day your seed will crush the head of the serpent. Then he said to the serpent, your seed will bruise the heel. By the time you get to Revelation chapter 12, you now see a woman. But this woman is described in a very, very particular way. She has three clear coverings. She has on her head 12 stars. These 12 stars represent the first plan of God from Adam all through to Abraham. They are called the patriarchs. The patriarchs. These 12 stars represent the age of the patriarchs. Then she said, the Bible says she's standing on the moon. This age of the moon represents the age from Moses, who brought the law, all the way to Jesus' first coming. Because Romans, the same Romans 5 tells us, by the time you read from around verse 12 down, that death reigned from Adam to Moses. So Moses brought the law. So Adam to Moses, first dispensation, the patriarchs, the 12 stars. Moses to the first coming of Jesus Christ, the moon, the time of the law. What did Jesus bring? John chapter 1. The Bible says that Moses brought the what? Law. But Jesus brought grace and truth. So the age of the first coming of Jesus Christ to his second coming is the age of the Son, S-U-N. Who is in the age of the Son? You, grace. So what age are we in? The Son, the S-U-N, who is the S-O-N. And if you look at this woman, the biggest part of the woman is the Son. She was wearing the stars, standing on the moon, but covered with the Son. God is in a process. Then if you notice, the most important information I want you to glean from there. She was to produce a what? A son. A man child. What is the purpose of the man child? To change the age. To bring Jesus back. Because if you study it further, the Bible says that he was caught up to God's throne. If you continue to study, the devil, the dragon, who was the serpent, has now grown to be a fiery red dragon. To make war. Couldn't touch the man child. Couldn't touch the woman. Goes to make war with her remnants. But today, what I want you to leave with you is this. We are in the time of this woman. But have you noticed that God is waiting for the woman to produce who? The man child. How did my wife produce all the four children? She just received life. She just received life. I know there are different styles. I know. But let's just be, ultimately is receiving. Do you see this? She just received. And the issue of the receiving are the children that you see. So how will God produce that man child? By you receiving. What are you to receive? The life of God. Life. What are you receiving now? What have you been receiving all through your studying your Bible from January to November? What have you been receiving? What are you going to receive more and more? God says receive. It is the process of receiving that transforms you. But have you noticed? My time is up, but let me finish with this. Have you noticed in Romans chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present yourself what? Why living sacrifice? Because you can run away. You can jump off the altar. But God says, don't jump. Don't run. Be still. I have something to give you. You can't do anything about it. But you can do one thing that I, God, can't do. Which is to force you to receive. But the receiving is active. In the sense that you must put yourself on that altar. So that you can receive. Because many things would like to call you off the altar. But it says, if you can keep yourself on that altar, you see, that's your only work. He says, if you do that, then it says, in verse 2, it says, now I, God, by my spirit, will transform you by renewing your mind. And he says, listen, he says, that is the good, the acceptable, and perfect worship that I'm looking for. Brothers and sisters, receive. Just receive life. Whenever you are worshiping, pastor is preaching, you are reading the Bible, understand that this process is what? Is happening. Receive, 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 and let God change you. Let us go to the next phase. One day, ultimately, we are and we will become the new Jerusalem. God bless you. I would love to end by just praying with you. I said to you, our Christian life can be likened to the glove. God wants to put his hand inside the glove. It is true. And this is the bit that I said Satan has been working very hard. We are caught up on how dirty the glove looks. But God has washed us. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is done, but by the Spirit of our God is progressive. But notice that the purpose of God is not simply to what? Wash the glove. What's his purpose? To fill it. My prayer is simple. Please rise to your feet. Let's pray together. And as prophet, what's the young man's name? Prophet Arag. As he declared, let us declare together. Let us declare together. You may say to me, what are we to declare? I always like to declare like Prophet Arag declared, but I'm still growing. So Prophet Arag has, I can see that he has mastered those his own words. But for me, this one, I want us to do it together from the word of God. Revelations 21. Revelations 21. What you are to become. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. I'm reading from verse 1. The new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. My prayer for you, for me, is simple. Please, just declare with me, I will be prepared.
I will be prepared.
I will be adorned.
I will be adorned.
With gold. The gold of the Father. With silver. The silver, the redemption of the Son.
Redemption of the Son.
And with precious stones.
And with precious stone.
The work.
The work
of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy Spirit.
I will receive life.
I will receive life.
I will bring myself.
I will bring myself
on the altar of God.
On the altar of
for
God. For God
to work his gold.
Work his gold.
His silver.
His silver.
His precious stones.
His precious stone.
Into me.
In.
I will not see myself.
I will not see
as the world sees me.
As the world,
I will not see myself.
I will not see
as Satan sees me.
As Satan,
I will not see myself.
I will not see myself
as I see myself.
As I see myself,
I will see myself.
I will see
as God sees me.
As God sees me.
I am the new Jerusalem.
I am the new Jerusalem.
I am being made.
I am being made.
Being prepared.
Being prepared.
Being made ready.
Being made ready.
By the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
For my husband.
For my husband.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
The Son.
The Son.
Of God.
Of God.
Our Lord.
Our Lord.
And Savior.
And Savior.
I receive.
I receive.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
I receive,
Jesus. I receive.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
And of the Son.
In the name of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
More heights.
More heights.
More glory.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
More mountain tops.
More mountain tops.
We shall be there.
We shall be there.
By the power.
By the
power. Ability.
The ability.
The person.
The person.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Of the Holy
Spirit.
Amen. 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 Amen.